And I've got 5 pages of notes in 15 minutes. You think we'll be able to get through? Yeah? Yeah? 3 minutes per page? All right. We'll see. Let's play a little game, shall we? Tell me the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Jonah. Go. Exactly.
Fish.
All right. You're an accurate man right here. You know, a lot of Christians, they look at the book of Jonah, and the first thing that comes to their mind is the story of Jonah and the fish, whale, slash fish, all right, whatever it is. And oftentimes, a lot of our children, they leave junior church, and they grow up, and the idea, the first thing that they come to think of when they think of the book of Jonah is that Jonah was a prophet that ran away from God, and God had to call his attention back using a whale slash fish. I think it's really unfortunate because the book of Jonah is not about the whale or the fish. And it's not even about Jonah. The book of Jonah is about God and his compassion, his boundless compassion, that his mercy and his grace isn't just for Jonah or for you and me, but it reaches out through the whole world. And if you would, let's just say a quick word of prayer before we look into some of these things and some of the truths in Jonah. Father in heaven, we thank you for your compassion to us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Father, we pray that you would give us clarity of thought. Pray, Lord, that you would give us humble hearts as we receive your word. Father, will you help us to see our Savior, Jesus Christ, even more clearly? Help us, Father, to see the sin in our own lives, that we would repent, confess, and Lord, that we would depend on your grace to become more like Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. A few weeks ago, you probably heard the news that the United States dropped what's called the mother of all bombs on a tunnel network in Afghanistan, killing, I think, close to about 100 or over 100 different ISIS members. And I don't know what you think about when you hear about stories like that, but I remember at the height of when ISIS was on the news, when they were just being so merciless as far as the way that they would deal with people and the way that they would treat especially Christians, maybe you would read a news article like that and have the attitude of, you know what, it's finally time that somebody's dealing with this, that somebody is giving them what the justice that they deserve. And it's easy to read an article like that. And in fact, I've been in a situation where I've been in that very same spot reading an article and thinking to myself, finally, these guys who are really evil are getting what they want. And then just a few moments later, you know, the Lord really convicted my heart, reminded me that, you know, those guys, no matter how evil they are, there's not much different between them and me. They are sinners just like me. And they deserve God's judgment, just like me. And there's nothing that makes me better than them. Just because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior doesn't mean that makes me better than them. I need Jesus Christ's grace in my life, just as they needed him. And praise the Lord for his mercy to us. And in fact, you know, this is kind of our attitude many times. Oftentimes, we want God's mercy as Christians. We're thankful that we receive God's mercy and have received God's mercy. But there are certain people that maybe we don't want to receive God's mercy. Well, that's the situation that Jonah was in. And the main message of this book is that God's compassion towards sinners knows no bounds. It's boundless. God wants his gospel preached to every creature here on earth. And we'll just take a few moments to look at some principles here in Jonah. But the main thought of the book can be found in the very last verse of Jonah chapter 4. Here's what God said. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons? That's 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. And that's how the book ends. God ends asking Jonah that probing question, and really, in a sense, communicating to him that this is the kind of God he is. God is a God of boundless compassion. Let's just look at a few principles, a few truths here about God. When you look at God, the way God called Jonah in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here's one way that God shows his compassion, his boundless compassion. He wants the message of his compassion preached to all sinners. God told Jonah, arise, get up and go and cry against the city. Well, what was going on here? Here was Nineveh, who could have received God's judgment immediately. God could have poured out his judgment, his anger completely on the city of Nineveh, and without even sending Jonah, his prophet, to preach against it. And yet God takes a prophet and says, go to Nineveh. This is part of God's mercy. This is part of God's compassion. He commands Jonah to take the message of his compassion, says, arise and go. Go to Jonah, or go to Nineveh. Well, we know what Jonah does. We know the story. We won't go through all the scripture, but we know what Jonah does. Jonah is unwilling to serve God, and he chooses, instead of obeying God and submitting himself to God's will, he would rather choose open rebellion. From where Jonah was, all he would have to do was to travel about 500 miles going east, and instead he gets in a boat. We know how the story goes. He gets in a boat and has the goal of traveling 1,500 miles west. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get as far as possible from doing God's will. He knew that he wasn't escaping God's presence. It wasn't a matter of escaping God's presence, but it was a matter of he just didn't want to do God's will. And he didn't want to be the bearer of the message of God's compassion to those people. Now let's remember, no one can run from God. Psalm chapter 139, verse 5 says this, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thine hand upon me." Another way to say this is, you have hemmed me in, Lord, anywhere I go. And Jonah knew this. He wasn't escaping from God's presence, except he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And what God wanted him to do was to be the means of God's compassion to the people of Nineveh. Maybe this morning there's someone specific that God wants you to minister his compassion to. There might be somebody at work that God has already burdened you for, that you've been praying for. Maybe there's somebody in your family that you've been trying to witness to. You are God's means of compassion to that person. He is a God of boundless compassion. Well, we know how the story goes. And in chapter 1, Jonah gets in that ship, and the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 1, the Lord sent out a great wind into the ship. And this is our next truth about God's compassion. God, in his compassion, his boundless compassion, he sovereignly controls events to cause sinners to repent and turn to him. This is part of God's compassion. He controls certain events in our life to break our hearts, to really take off the hard shell of our hearts and to cause us to call on him. And Jonah needed this. The Bible tells us that the Lord sent out or hurled a great wind into the sea. God sent out this great wind so that the ship could go nowhere. In fact, the Bible tells us that the ship began to break apart from this storm that they were experiencing. And this was God getting Jonah's attention, trying to stop him in his tracks. There was a very specific purpose in mind that God had. And Jonah, continuing in the hardness of his heart, what he does is he goes down to the bottom of the ship and decides to sleep. In fact, as you read through chapter 1, the mariners, the sailors, start to get afraid. And they begin to tell everybody in the boat, start calling upon your gods. They're afraid. They're afraid of this typhoon that God had hurled or sent out at them. And as they find Jonah sleeping, they question him. And they say, well, what's the reason for your sleeping? Call upon your God. Perhaps your God is sovereign. In fact, when you can read that, they have no understanding of who God is at this point. But the Bible tells us that these sailors, experienced sailors, were afraid. They knew they were in grave danger. And he said, perhaps your God is sovereign. Call on him. And they continue to row, and they continue to throw things overboard in the hope of saving themselves. The storm gets stronger and stronger, and they know there's no hope. And finally, they cast lots, and the lot falls on Jonah. And they ask Jonah, what's the meaning of all this? And he introduces himself. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and verse 9, he says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Well, if he really feared the Lord, he would be responding differently, wouldn't he? Here are these pagan sailors, and they're exhibiting more fear. They're demonstrating more fear for the God who sent out this great wind, the God who's about to destroy their ship and take their lives, than Jonah, God's prophet. Very ironic what's going on here. It's these men that don't know God that are fearing for their lives instead of his prophet, who should be demonstrating his fear for the Lord. And the Bible tells us they keep rowing harder to get the land. And Jonah tells them exactly what they need to do. They need to throw him overboard so that this typhoon would stop, or the storm would stop. Sorry, we're in that side of the Pacific, so they're called typhoons. So what do you call them here? Hurricanes, right? On this side of the country, right? Hurricanes, maybe? And a couple of things that are very interesting in this chapter. The word send out, really this is the word hurl, like you're throwing something. In verse 3, the Bible says that, or verse 4, the Bible says that God hurled a great wind at the ship. And then later on, you see in verse 5, these mariners were so afraid that they started hurling. They started throwing overboard all their belongings. And then finally, later on in verse 10, Jonah says, what you really got to do is you've got to hurl me overboard so that you can save your lives. And in verse 11, they do that. And this word comes up again and again to show us the power of God. Really, you can't out-hurl God. Jonah was saying that the way that you're going to save yourselves is if you throw me, you hurl me overboard. And God was showing him that there's no way that you can't out-muscle God. God is in complete control of all things. In fact, he's the one that sent this great wind to stop Jonah in his tracks. And he will do that to us, to our own lives, if we need to do that, to break our hearts, to cause us to repent of our sin and turn to him. What's interesting also is the way that this chapter uses the word fear. The mariners repeatedly feared who God was. And here's Jonah. And Jonah, God's prophet, never exhibited this kind of fear. In fact, right before the sailors threw Jonah overboard in verse 14, they have a very short prayer meeting right before they throw him overboard. They cried out in verse 14, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." When they first started asking Jonah who he was and telling him to pray upon his God, they weren't sure if his God was sovereign. This was a very pluralistic group of sailors in this boat, and they had all these different gods, and they didn't know which God was the true God. By the time you get to verse 14, they're praying to Yahweh, and they're saying, "Lord, don't lay this innocent man's life, or don't lay this man's life on us. We're innocent of this." God is sovereign. They had come to that acknowledgement. They throw Jonah overboard. And look at verse 16, the response. Then the men, or verse 15, here's what happened. They took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And their response was this. Clearly, this was a miracle. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. These men clearly recognized who God was, that God is a sovereign God, that he had the power to accomplish his will, and yet in his sovereignty, God continues to communicate his compassion. Now, the question is, couldn't there have been any other way for these sailors to have been saved, for this storm to stop? Was really throwing Jonah overboard. In fact, what Jonah was saying by throwing him overboard was, "I would rather die than do God's will." You know, there could have been another way to save those sailors from destruction. On that boat, Jonah could have repented of his sin and done what God had wanted. He could have responded to God's sovereignty with fear and worship, just like those men had responded to God. But Jonah doesn't do this. But God is still compassionate. He sends a great fish. The Bible tells us, we're going to speed through some of this. He sends a great fish. Chapter 3, we have the prayer, the conclusion that Jonah comes to in chapter 2, sorry. Verse 9, the end of verse 9, he says this, "Salvation is of the Lord." Compassion to save souls, salvation, the gospel, it's of the Lord. And verse 10 says, "The Lord spake unto the fish, it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." This is all part of God's sovereignty, his compassion. He uses events. What happens next? Chapter 3, the Lord talks to Jonah again, and he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh and speak to that great city," and Jonah goes. And the Bible says that in the English translation here, the message that Jonah spake to this city was 8 words. Look at verse 4. "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." In fact, in the Hebrew, it's just 5 words. Now, we don't know if this is the very specific message that God gave to Jonah, and he just related and repeated it, or if this was still out of the hardness of Jonah's heart, that he was just barely giving them what they needed to know. This was the bare minimum. But the small message, this 5-word message in the Hebrew, produced great results. The Bible tells us that the people of Nineveh, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh began to believe God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, the greatest of them, even to the least of them. The word gets to the governor of Nineveh, and he makes it official. He proclaims a fast, and not even the animals. They're repenting of their sin, and they're turning to God. In fact, it's so extreme that they said, even the animals, don't feed the animals anything. We've got 40 days. Perhaps God will relent. And here's the next truth that we need to understand. God is such a compassionate God that he relents. He forgives and relents judgment when sinners do repent. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy to us, his compassion? You know, we complain oftentimes of things that happen to our lives. We ask, Lord, why would this thing happen? But instead, the right question to ask is, Lord, why wouldn't this thing happen? I am so deserving of so much more of your judgment. You are such a compassionate God. I deserve so much worse than this. I deserve hell because of my sin. And yet, Lord, you are so compassionate that when sinners relent, or when sinners repent, you relent your judgment and you forgive. Well, we get to chapter 4, and what happens next? Jonah leaves the city, and he's sitting on a hill, and he makes himself a tent, and he's very upset because he knows that the Lord is going to forgive and has relented judgment. And he's upset. He's angry with God, and he asks God why God chose to do these things. And in fact, God asks him a probing question. He says, is it really right for you to be angry at this? Is it right for you to be angry that I'm a compassionate, a gracious, and merciful God? Really, what he was doing is he was getting Jonah to check his heart. Jonah's heart was so hardened. He was thankful for God's salvation to him and God's mercy in delivering him, but he didn't want other people to receive it. So he's sitting there and pouting, and God in his compassion sends him a plant to cover him from the heat and the east wind. And he is able to enjoy the shade for a little bit. And then God, soon thereafter, God sends a worm to eat this plant. And within a day, this plant is dead. And Jonah is upset. In fact, let's just look at what happens here. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. Kind of like Elijah, 1 Kings. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. So here's what the Lord is saying. Look at the things that you're upset about. You're upset about a plant that you didn't have any part in growing. I'm the one that gave that plant to you, and I'm the one that took it away, and you're upset about a small thing like a plant. And then the book ends with verse 11. After God put his finger on Jonah's heart, he ends with this question, and really this question is for all of us. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? If you're so upset about a small thing as a gourd, shouldn't you be more concerned about the souls of 120,000 men, women, and children? And you know what God was telling Jonah was this. Got it up there. What he's telling Jonah is, Jonah, instead of being so concerned about the gourd, what you really ought to be concerned about are the souls of those people that are in that city. You see, God wants every one of us to have the same heart of compassion that he has for sinners. And this morning, maybe we'll end with just a question that each one of us needs to ask. What are we so concerned about? What was the last thing that upset you? What drives you? What are you passionate about? What should we be more concerned about than seeing God's message of compassion, the gospel, the hope, the same message of hope that he sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, the same message of hope that you and I have in our hearts that we ought to be getting across to others here in Hampton or across the ocean in the Philippines? That ought to be our concern. To sharing the message that we serve a God whose compassion is boundless. Heavenly Father, we praise you for being compassionate God and saving us. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father,